If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Now it's time to talk farming, and I would like to be joined by Katrina from the Farmers Journal. Katrina, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran.
Great to talk to you today. Can we start with talk about the weather? God knows the weather and all of that, but it certainly grinds turnout and field work to a halt, I suppose, Katrina?
Completely. And look, it's the only thing anybody is talking about in farming circles, to be honest, because it is, you know, we're approaching the 1st of April in this part of the country in particular. Lots of farmers will be planning on having cows well out at this stage. They'll be planning on, you know, maybe grazing their silage ground ahead of closing it for silage. And instead, they're looking at cows and cattle inside in the shed, eating through concentrate meal, eating through the silage stocks that are there, in some cases looking at getting close to the silage pit wall. And there's, you know, there's work to be done, because there isn't an end in sight in the short term to this weather. So I suppose we have plenty of advice in this week's Farmers Journal and on our own Tech Talk podcast, which goes out on Fridays. But it's about, you know, just looking now at what silage stocks you have, knowing what you use every day or every week, dividing it in, seeing how many days silage you have, and then planning accordingly. So if you have to go out and either buy additional silage, or maybe you can add in some concentrate feeding to stretch the silage that you have. Good news is that, look, at this time of this part of the country, it will turn around very quickly when the weather improves, but that improvement is just not in sight there at the minute. And, you know, we're very lucky in this part of the country to have that type of soil that does dry out very quickly. But we're also, I suppose, kind of reliant on that, and farmers, no more than anybody, always hope for an early spring and good weather. And when you get a year like this, which is an early winter and now a late spring, it puts pressure on all the facets of the business.
I know it's been very wet, but to read in the journal that rainfall up about 50% in some... 50%, Katrina?
50%, yeah. I think that particular reading was in Johnstown Castle in Wexford, you know, the sunny southeast, allegedly. And, you know, I don't think we're that far behind in Tipperary. It has been, like, we had biblical rain here on Monday night, and we had snow yesterday. So all of that precipitation down on top of already waterlogged soils means that farmers, they just can't put animals out in fields at the minute. And if they have, some of them have brought them back in because they'll do too much damage. That has implications later in the year. They might have to reseed paddocks and things like that. Slurry storage is a big issue because, again, this part of the country, we have an early opening period for slurry. But that, of course, is weather dependent. And at the minute, what you're seeing is farmers actually moving slurry from tank to tank. So they might have a tank that's only half full in one part of the farm, and they'll move it from a full one into that because, you know, you can't be putting slurry out on waterlogged soils for environmental reasons. But it's just, it's another pressure there. It doesn't help the mood. Tillage, again, very big in this part of the country. Very little field work done, and the window there to plant crops is getting tighter every day. So a lot of pressure out there. As I say, hopefully it'll turn around very quickly. That's just not there in the short term. And actually, Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConlogue has called a meeting of the Feed and Fodder Committee, and that's to happen tomorrow. So we're not sure what may or may not come out of that. But nonetheless, I suppose the powers that be really taking notice of the pressure that's there at the moment among farmers and on farmers.
You and I spoke last week about Leo's decision to stand down. We have a new Fine Gael leader now, a presumptive teacher, Taoiseach, as well. He's spoken to the journal. What is he saying to you about his engagement with farmers during his time?
Well, wise man that he is, I suppose he's making all the right noises. He says that he'll engage with the farm organisations, listen to their concerns, and work closely with his government colleagues to look at initiatives to support them. He is, I suppose, not the most rural of TDs among Fine Gael. But nonetheless, he said that, you know, supporting the farming community was a priority. He did mention it in his acceptance speech over the weekend. So the farmers will be hoping, I suppose, that he will follow through on that. And I do think, look, you know, in recent times, various events have maybe highlighted the need for rural support for the government and for, you know, coming up to general election and everything. So you'd imagine that the farming element of the rural vote will be looked after, I suppose, by government in general and the new Taoiseach as making an impression, because Fine Gael is going to be under pressure going into the general election. So he'll want to lead his party, I suppose, to an improvement in their position.
He'll want to gain back some of the traditional Fine Gael vote among farmers, I guess.
Absolutely, you know. Yeah. So yeah, they will feel that loss very acutely, I think.
Yeah. A new strain of potato blight as well. Is that a concern?
It is, yeah. And, you know, it's a resistance to one of the main fungicides. So the chemistry that's there in one of the main fungicides used in Ireland, there is a new strain that is resistant to that. There were two cases of it found in Ireland last year, and the research is ongoing. It originated first in Denmark. This strain was found, that was back about 5 years ago, then found in the Netherlands, and it is now risen in the Netherlands. It went from 2% of the potato blight strain population to 43% last year. So, you know, that makes the potato crop very susceptible to blight if you can't treat it with the correct fungicide. If the fungicide is ineffective that you're applying on it, it makes the crop very susceptible, and obviously yields and farm incomes as a result.
And forgive my ignorance on this, but say the damp weather that we've been experiencing, and relatively mild as well, is that ideal for blight?
Absolutely perfect conditions for it. Yeah. A little bit milder than today, you know, but moist weather and moist warm weather is where blight thrives, and that is the time that farmers will be applying all of the fungicides that they need to. But of course, now they have this fear lurking in the back of their head that maybe some of this fungicide won't work, that it won't take out this particular blight strain.
The Irish Farmers Journal Renewables Roadshow, you're hitting the road in April. What should we know about that?
Yeah, so I suppose it's a growing area, renewable energy. What does renewable energy mean to you? I suppose it is solar panels on your sheds on the farm. It's solar panels on the house. We're going to be talking about retrofitting farmhouses, because there's huge grants there for that. Things like anaerobic digestion, all of the areas there that are of interest to farmers and the farm family, the farmhouse, will be covered. We're going to start in Cork. We're going to move to Kilkenny, Cavan and Athlone. They're 4 free events, and they're open to anybody. We do ask people to register. You can register on the Farmers Journal website, or you can click through from any of our social media posts. And there's good sign-ups actually already. So there's huge interest. I mean, you know yourself, the houses are, the more and more solar panels on houses these days. Farmers very anxious to offset some of their costs, you know, their energy costs, milking parlours, etc. They're really keen to find out how they can save money, and then in the future maybe earn some money by selling back to the grid. So Stephen Robb is our expert on all things renewable. He's going to be chairing all of those 4 events. There'll be experts in each of the areas, from solar to renewable heat to anaerobic digestion, retrofitting the house. There'll be speakers there on the night. Cork and Kilkenny, I suppose, both within a relatively easy striking distance of Tipperary. So hopefully we'll see some Tip people in the audience.
Hopefully indeed. I see Coolmore is waving the chequebook again, Katrina.
Yeah, that's right. Not too far from the Tip FM studios there.
Yeah,
they've paid almost 38,000 an acre for a farm there on the Feathered Road, just out of Clonmel.
Is that way over the norm per acre? Is that
it's a very, very, very strong price. Yeah. Now, it's not an agricultural price in the sense of, you know, agricultural price at the minute is probably closer to 15. We've seen some very high agricultural prices as well. This particular farm is right on the edge of town. It's at Parkville there, so it would be between, I suppose, the Feathered Road and the Cashel Road. You've got Abbott on the far side. You've got residential developments on each side of it there on the Feathered Road. So there's definitely some development value in that, and it also borders some existing Coolmore land. So a very, very big price. There was plenty of people in it, actually. There was 5 bidders in total, and it went for 1 million over the guide price. So it wasn't just the Coolmore boss, John Magner, wanted it. There was other people who wanted it as well. But I would say definitely found some development value in that price.
Right. So are farmers generally unhappy with that, though? Because it sort of pushes them out of the possibility, I suppose, of picking up land. Is that fair to say, do you think?
When it comes to pure agricultural land, you know, you just don't want to see anybody bidding against you at all. And you certainly don't want to see anybody bidding against you that has the financial weight behind them as Coolmore does. So there has been unhappiness over that. Coolmore has a lot of land. There was a Farmers Journal investigation back in December, and they have almost 10,000 acres in Tipperary alone. And, you know, that everybody around those parcels of land would also like to have an option to buy it. There was farmers expressing, I suppose, unhappiness at an IFA meeting there in the autumn of last year. But on Tuesday, you know, it was an auction and there was five people in the running for that one. Interestingly, they've also bought, we understand that they're in the process of going to sign contracts on a much bigger farm up near Horse and Jockey. Killock Castle, it has a castle dating back to the 1400s. It's got 471 acres with it and a good share of that in forestry. So there's a mixture of land, there's tillage land, grassland and forestry. So all in all, add those two farms together to the existing land bank, it'll push it over 10,300 acres that we know of.
Wow. Before I let you go, just a text into the show, Katrina, if you would, have brought our attention to the shortage of farm labourers, because young people are obviously emigrating in huge numbers. It's a big concern, I guess.
It's a big concern, yeah. And it's always a big concern, particularly at this time of year, because you have dairy farmers in particular, a real seasonal peak in workload on the farms. And calving season and breeding season is the biggest, I suppose, the busiest time of the year. The Farm Relief Service obviously supplies some of those workers, and some workers would come in from abroad for seasonal work as well. But yeah, it's been a problem for several years now. As you say, immigration plays a role in it. The fact that farming is a difficult job plays a role in it. Yeah. You know, you're not in an office on a nice clean desk from 9 to 5. You're in a shed, you're out in the field, you know, it's a very mucky job at the minute. So that doesn't help. And it's not spectacularly well paid as well. I think the farmers who do get regular work and keep regular workers are the ones who look after their workers, whether they're seasonal or full-time. And I think there's probably more of an awareness of that now, that you actually need to pay to get your people and you need to look after your people. It may not always be in terms of cold, hard cash, but maybe, for example, some bigger dairy farmers might offer accommodation to stay in the farm at the time so that their worker isn't driving to and from, those kind of things. But it's a perennial problem. I don't think shortage of labour is restricted to only agriculture. But when you're talking about a hard physical job with not the shortest hours and not the greatest pay, then you're going to be down the pecking order when it comes to attracting people.
You'd have to love it, I would imagine. Katrina Garmina-Mahagutta, and good to talk to you as usual. Thank you. And that's Katrina from the Farmers Journal. The journal is on your shelves right now. We leave the last words to one of our listeners, who, again, making reference to the guy with the phone, where he's referring to his wife as a ball and chain. And this listener says, I bet he doesn't mind the ball and chain doing his washing. That's it for me. Doc produced, Ali looks after content. Stephen is on the way. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, poke on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.